The Battle of Chickamauga, September the 19th through the 20th, 1863. Now, this is part one. This will be day one. Now, the Chickamauga campaign, which really starts in August, runs through September of 1863, you have, you know, Union Commander General Rosecrans with nearly 60,000 men, and you have Confederate Commander Braxton Bragg with almost 67,000 men playing, you know, kind of a chess-like game of moving their pieces, or if you want to call it a cat-and-mouse game, they're doing that in eastern Tennessee and northern Georgia. Now, Confederate General Bragg, on several occasions, had tried to trap various parts of Rosecrans' forces. Now, the funny thing is, he was frequently successful in getting the Union into the position that he wanted them. The trouble was, he couldn't get the execution of his attack orders to take place. They were frequently never carried out, which is really odd. You know, you've got your commander-in-chief and you know, of the of that unit, and he's giving orders, I want you to attack on this day, and the guy doesn't attack. Well, one of the things that happens, General Bragg is quite an interesting character. Bragg had done a really, prior to Chattanooga and Chickamauga, had done a really good job of alienating his various commanders. During the war, when things went wrong, he was not afraid to blame his subordinates, such as, you know, after the problems of the Battle of Perryville and the Battle of Murfreesboro. He wasn't afraid to say, well, Commander so-and-so acted irrationally and so forth and so on. Well, the other thing, too, is that General Bragg's a sick guy. He suffered from migraine headaches, what they would refer to in those days as a sick headache. And then he had all sorts of other ailments. I mean, this is a guy who, quite frankly, was so devoted to the Southern cause, which is why he kept his command. No one questioned his patriotism to the cause. But frequently, he's so sick that instead of being on the back of his horse riding around, he really should have been relieved of command and placed in bed. Now, you can imagine the frustration. You know, you're not feeling well, you're sick, you've got a headache, and your people aren't carrying out your commands, and you've got you know, disenchanted people. It's got to frustrate the living daylights out of you and to see what's going on. And so, you know, even the people who liked him said that, you know, he was a sick man, and that's going to be a problem. The trouble is Davis, President Davis of the Confederacy, just doesn't want to relieve him. What'll end up happening is President Davis will end up moving the commanders he doesn't get along with to other places, which is counterproductive. Well, Bragg is a skilled planner, but one of the things he tended to do was issue kind of vague orders, kind of with a lack of purpose. He might tell you to do something, but you weren't really sure exactly what he wanted you to do. And of course, what took place was, you know, he'd give those vague orders at Perryville or at Murfreesboro, and when it didn't go right, the commander would then pick on these people. So in many cases, in absence of specific points, the commanders decided they were just safer for their own personal leadership not to pay any attention to them. So that's going to be a mess. And of course, Bragg was not afraid to reprimand somebody, you know, publicly in front of everybody else. So by the time you get to the Battle of Chickamauga, a casual disregard of his orders was becoming very common, which is really, when you think of the way General Lee and others operated, this is just like unconscionable. On the morning of September the 18th, the United States and Confederate armies were located near Lee and Gordon's Mill on opposite sides of the West Chickamauga Creek. Now, Confederate General Bragg had a new plan. He had several plans. They almost all worked, except there was no attacking. He was going to move his troops northward of the Union position. That would put his men between the Union forces and Chattanooga, their real line of retreat. Then he would have his men attack from the north, not from the east. That would hopefully push the Union into the mountains, where they could then be finished off in piecemeal. Now, as General Bragg's other plans, you know, it looked great. The question was, would it be executed properly? Now, the battlefield site is really thickly forested, and there are a few open areas, so the battle will be very confused once the fighting begins. Now, I've been the Chickamauga, and it is without a doubt, even with the little guide thing, extremely confusing. And it was so densely wooded that the trees, after the two-day battle, were just riddled with lead, and to the point that a lot of the timber mills wouldn't accept trees that were from the battle site because they were so full of metal, would chew up the teeth on their saws. And it's very common to find pictures of cannonballs that are in the trees, and the trees have grown around them. So, you know, it's not difficult for these people to lose. You know, you have your two divisions, and they're supposed to be side by side, but you might have a gap and not realize it. And, of course, when you attack, you're really not sure what's inside of those woods. So it is a really confused battle. Now, during the afternoon of the 18th, both sides skirmished and maneuvered. Confederate forces tried to cross Reed's Bridge and Alexander's Bridge, but were slowed down by Union cavalry, which now delayed the Confederate attack until the morning of the 19th of September, 1863. Now, the skirmishes tipped Union General Rosecrans off that the Confederate troops were going to try and flank him to the north. And the Union response was to move General Thomas and his 14th Corps into that position to block the attack. Now, that's going to take an all-night march through the woods to get in the position. On the morning of September the 19th, the Union actually started the fighting. General Thomas thought he saw an isolated Confederate brigade, so he ordered General Brennan's division forward. Well, the so-called isolated brigade was actually General Nathan Bedford Forrest's dismounted cavalry. So the fighting began in earnest. And the action at this point now jolted Confederate General Bragg, who thought there shouldn't be Union troops into that region. So he kind of panicked a little bit. He canceled his planned three-corps attack and instead sent troops to General Forrest in little chunks. And actually, this is what happens on both sides. As the battle intensified, you have, first of all, you have Confederate General Walker's troops joining Forrest, and well, then the General Thomas responds by sending another one of his divisions from his corps forward. And then it gradually spreads bit by bit over the whole battlefield, moving from the northern part of the battlefield to the southern part. Now, of course, we get a lot of, you know, you can if all of these battles to death. But if Confederate General Bragg had just stayed with his plan and hit the Union forces with his three corps, more than likely the Union army would have been smashed, because there was a mile-wide gap between General Thomas's corps and the rest of the Union army. However, both sides were attacking piecemeal, and that allowed Union General Rosecrans to finally see the problem and begin shifting his divisions, gradually closing that gap. Now, the final attack on the 19th of September took place after dark, when Confederate General Claiborne's division charged forward. But other than making a lot of noise, the Union position was pretty much undamaged. I don't know, charging at night in a wooded area has got to be a problem. So September the 19th, or I should say, you know, September the 20th dawned like the other plans of General Bragg. They were promising but ended in disappointment. And so day one ended with neither the Union nor the Confederates having an advantage. Now, the sources for this, The Terrible Sound, The Battle of Chickamauga by Cozens, Chickamauga, The Bloody Battle in the West by Tucker, Encyclopedia of the American Civil War, The Almanac of the American Civil War, and Nevins's books as well. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, and thank you very much.